Okay, we're starting at Kufyud Aleph Amabet. Toward the bottom, we'll start again with this Braita of Rabbi Yoshaya. Okay, we'll just review for a quick minute. We have the Mishnah, Hagozel Ma'achil Panav Eniach Lifnehem Pturim. If you steal and then your children eat what you stole, or consume it in some way, consume is a better word than eat, because it could be an item that was consumed, or he leaves it to them in inheritance, they do not have to pay. So today we're going to see all different distinctions about what exactly this case is, right? We saw Rav Chisda, who said that, and then just before we move to Rav Chisda, we then had this last line, which is, if it's davar shel achrayut, then chayvim l'shalem, which means, we saw two different interpretations. Either it means, if the item was land, then they have to pay it back, which then we said would then extend not only to land according to one of the interpretations, it's also the para and any kind of animal where it was obvious that it was the father's, and that's why it would go back. They would have to return it because of kvod avihem. That's one way of reading it. Rava had to interpret differently because of his interpretation of the mission in general, and he said it means if when he took out the loan, stole the item and owed the money basically to the other person, he was a landowner, then his land would have been automatically mishuabad. Leaned, thank you. It would be automatically leaned to paying back the loan, in which case the children inherit land that has a lien on it, they'd obviously have to pay it back. Whereas if he wasn't a landowner, right, then according to Rava, then the whole beginning of the Mishnah is only referring to non-landowners. They're only patur if their fathers didn't own land. Okay, so that's a review of the Mishnah. Rav Chisda said, if you remember, that it depends whether there was Yeush or not, right? So he says the Mishnah was after Yeush, okay, because the Mishnah was referring to if it's their Pturim Milashalem, because it was after the Baalim had Yeush. But if the Baalim never had Yeush, then what does he say happens? If anybody, now here I want to correct something I said yesterday. I mentioned about that according to Rav Chisda, once there's Yeush, before Yeush, right, Lifnei Yeush, what will happen? Before Yeush, the item still belongs to the original owner. So if there's a second person who can, there's the robber, right, and then there's the second person. Okay, now yesterday I mentioned the second person could either be someone who consumes it, like his children, or someone else comes along and consumes it, or it could be someone who stole it from him. So there's actually a debate among the Mefarshim about whether stealing from him would be the same thing, whether we're only talking about when the person who consumed it, did it be reshut of the robber or not. So there's a debate about that. So I mentioned it as if it's vadai, but it's debatable. But let's say the second person just consumes it. So according to Rav Chisda, what do we say? Since it was before Yeush and it's still owned by the original owner, so both the robber and the second person are liable to pay. So when the original owner comes back, he can demand it from either the robber or the second person if he wants. That was Rav Chisda's chiddush. Then Rami Bar Chama said that what we can derive from the Mishnah is Rishut Yoresh ki Rishut Lokeach Dami. Right? That a Yoresh is like a Lokeach. Okay? And then Rava disagrees and says it's not. Okay? And that's why they have this disagreement about the M part of the Mishnah. Okay? So now, right, Hiniach Lefleihem their Pturim, and that's because, how do we get to, remember the derivation here, it's Rishut Yoresh, right, his whole thing is based on Rishut Yoresh is like a Lokach, meaning, once there's Yeush and Shinui Rishut, we're going to call this a Shinui Rishut. Once there's a Shinui Rishut, what happens? It becomes acquired by the, right? So now, the item, we have a Kinyan there. So once there's Yeush and Shinui Rishut, there's a Kinyan, which means it's no longer the third person here, or we called them the second person before, but right, there's the robber and the person who then consumes. So this extra person now acquires the object, in which case he's not required to return it. Okay, and the chiyuv only applies to the robber. It's not that the owner doesn't get back his original thing, but that the robber is the only one liable and not the last person who got involved here. And that's because he says, Yoresh kirishut lokeach dami. And Rabbi disagrees with that. Okay, then Rabbi brought Rabbi Yoshaya's reading of the Braita, of the Mishnah. So we're going to start from there, 8 lines from the bottom. Titane Rabbi Yoshaya, Hagozel machila banab turimi l'shalem, Hiniach lifnehem gzela kayemet chayavim. Ein hagzela kayemet pturim. So he makes this distinction between a gzela kayemet and a gzela ena kayemet. So if the gzela is not kayemet, then the children are pturim. But if it's in existence, then they have to. And then hiniach lahem abihem achrayut nechasim. But even if the item is no longer in existence, and that's the chidush of Rava, that if the father leaves them achrayut nechasim, then they have to pay. And that's meaning if he owned land at the time, then the land was already leaned to the theft, and then they would have to pay, because then you wouldn't say that there was any sort of, they're basically an extension of their property was already leaned. There's nothing to discuss. It obviously goes back. So now we're going to say Amar. Now we're going to talk about two parts of this Braita. One is going to be difficult for Rav Chisda, and one is going to be difficult for Rami Bar Chama. Amar. Ein hagzela kayemet pturin. What does it say here? If the gzela is not kayemet, then they're going to be patur. Nema tavi tiyuvta de Rav Chisda. Because what did Rav Chisda say? That only after Yeush they're going to be pturin, but before Yeush, he can demand it from them. So obviously, what are we going to have to answer here? Amar lecha Rav Chisda ki tanya hila achar Yeush. Okay? This must be after Yeush, and that's why they're saying that that's the case. So it's not a contradiction. We could just say it's after Yeush. Now, according to Rami Bar Chama, we're going to have another question. Keep going in the Braita. Amar Mar. This is all the Braita of Rabbi Yoshaya. Gzela kayemet chayavim l'shalem. If the gzela is in existence, you have to pay. Now, what did we say? Rishut yoresh k'rishut lokeach dami. Yeush and shino rishut is konek. So when the gzela is kayemet, you shouldn't have to pay. So nema tavi tiyuvta de Rami Bar Chama. So how does Rami Bar Chama explain that you're chayavim? So now we're going to say, he's going to have to say the opposite of Rav Chisda. In order to answer Rav Chisda's question, we said the Braita was after Yeush. Now in order to answer Rami Bar Chama's question, we're going to say Rami Bar Chama must read this as, Amar lecha Rami Bar Chama, ki tanya hahi lifnei Yeush. He would have to say that the Braita was talking about before Yeush, and that's why they're chayavim l'shalem, because there hasn't been Yeush yet. Okay, Rav Ada Bar Ava Matne Lahada Rami Bar Chama Aha. Now we're going to have a different approach to Rami Bar Chama. What did Rami Bar Chama said? From here we can derive, right? Zot Omeret. That means from here we can derive the what? Reshut Yoresh ki Reshut Lokeach. Right? There's Yeush and Shino Reshut, and that makes these children who inherit just like. Right, they acquire it, okay, just like someone who bought it from him. So now, Rav Ada Bar Ava says, oh, you got confused. When Rami Bar Chama made this statement and said, from here you can derive, he wasn't talking about a Zela case, okay, which was our case, right, where somebody stole and then passed it on an inheritance to his children. No. Matne lahad Rami Bar Chama, aha. On this statement, hiniach lehen avihen ma'ot shel ribit. Okay, wasn't talking about an object that the father passes on to the children. Which, right, why would you say, what's the difference between an object and ribit? Because what's ribit? Ribit is money, which we always talk about lahotzah nitna, right? It's always, money is interchangeable. The money you got isn't the money you're returning, and it's not like earmarked. But this item, you would obviously have to return, okay? In other words, if you're going to say he was only talking about the rebeat case, you could distinguish between a gzela case and a rebeat case. Because in a gzela case, where he passes on the item, so you could see there would be more of a responsibility of the later party, you might say shinoi reshut doesn't work in that case. Okay, so now, hiniach lehen avihem ma'ot shel rebeat, in other words, he had taken rebeat from someone, af al pi sheyodim shehen shel rebeat, even though he knows this was money that was collected from interest, Ein chayavim lahachzir. And on this statement, Ami Rami Bar Chama, zot omeret, reshut yoresh ki reshut lokeach dami. Right? Because it's as if he acquired it, in which case he doesn't have the responsibility to return the rebeat. So now, Rava Amar, lo'olam emalacha reshut yoresh lav ki reshut lokeach dami. He says, I disagree about the Rebeat case. Why? In the Rebeat, and it's, we don't know what Rava was talking about, but right now we're saying if Rami Bar Chama made his statement on the Rebeat case, right? So now Rava disagrees, and what does Rava say? Remember, in our sugya, what did we see? Rami Bar Chama said it here, right? And then we said Rava disagreed and said Reshut Yoresh is not Kirishut Lokeh, right? That was Rava. So now Rava's going to disagree in the Rebeat case, and what does he say? Here it's different because his proof, there he didn't really bring a proof. He just said, Yoresh is not Kirishut Lokeh. But here he brings a proof text, Dafka from the Rebeat Psukim, which this is my lead in to what we're going to get to soon, which is if you learn it from a Limud just about the Rebeat Psukim, you might not necessarily adopt the same attitude when it comes to Gzela. In other words, we're going to see. So now, what does he say? Vishane, so he says, Reshut Yoresh is lav kirishut lokeach dame. I'm sorry, his proof that the Rebeat is different, we're going to see. In other words, he proves from a pasuk that the Rebeat is different from a regular case. Why? Vishane hacha. In other words, what's the issue? There's this Tana Itik source. Rava can't disagree with it. This Tana Itik source about the Rebeat seems to imply Reshut Yoresh kirishut lokeach, because the child's not responsible to return the Rebeat. So now what are we going to say? The Rebeat case is different. There's a special limud Rava is going to say for the Rebeat case that would say in this case he has to return the money. But normally, in like a Gzela case, for example, it wouldn't be. Shinur Reshut wouldn't work. So now we're going to see why. This is different from a regular case. To Amar Kra, Al Tikach Mi'ito Neshech V'Tarbit. Okay, don't take interest. Ahadrale Kihechi Denache Bahadach. Behadach. Okay, why is this? What does the pasuk say? I have to read the whole pasuk. Al tikach mito neshech b'tarbit b'yareta me'elohecha b'chai achicha imach. The idea is that you should live together with your brother. So now what are they going to say here? Ki hechi dinachi b'hadach b'hadach. The whole reason for not taking Rebeat according to this is so that you can live b'nacha with your neighbors. L'di de kamaz yer le'rachmana. Liberei lo mazir le. Therefore, the one who took the Rebeat has to return it because he's supposed to live with his brother and he has to make better on what he did. But the pasuk, the subject of that pasuk, was the guy who took the Rebeat. And it doesn't relate to the children who didn't take the Rebeat. So therefore, they're not, because of the chayachicha imach, imach is referring to the guy who took the Rebeat. So therefore, the child is not responsible to return the Rebeat. Okay? So now, Lomas Yer Le'Rachmana. Okay, and the libere for the child, Lomas Yer Le'Rachmana. The pasuk wasn't talking to the child. So what does Rava say? In the case of Rebeat, you don't have to pay back the money. He agrees with Rami Bar Chama. In other words, they all agree because that's the Tanaitic source. So there's no need to return, right? But what would he say? In a regular case, right, you would have to return, right? The child would not be considered, oh, it's Shinur Reshut. You can see the logic, by the way. A child is not a lokeach, right? A child getting property, it's just handed down. It's as if he's an extension of the father. According to Rami Bar Chama, the first way we read him is that, no, a child is like he's acquiring the property from scratch. And that's enough of a Shinui. This goes back to our whole discussion about Shinui being kone. It's enough of a Shinui to say it's now belonging to somebody new and they're not responsible, they're actually acquiring it.
But he includes Yeush in that context as well, right?
Yes, so you would have to depend that there was Yeush, right? According to the way the Gemara goes on, right? Before Yeush, everyone would agree that you have to return it, okay? That if, well, again, 1 second. Right. In other words, right, if no matter what, everyone agrees that before Yeush, you're going to have to return it because the item still belongs to the original owner. The question is, after Yeush, the combination of Yeush and Shinui Reshut, that's what's going to be Kona. Okay, so now we're going to say, Mandi Matne La Breita, if you learn that Rami Bar Chama said this about the Breita of Rebeat, then Kol Shekein Amatnitin. Then obviously, if he's going to say it on the Rebeat case, well, the more so, if he says, Reshut Yoresh, Ki Reshut Lokeach Dami, when it's coming, 1 second. Right. What's the story with the Rebeat? I said this a little differently in the intro. I think I got confused. But now, let's go back. The Rebeat case What did Rava say? Rava had a proof text. I said it's sort of in the opposite direction. Now I want to, I'm sorry. The Ribit case, Rava had a proof text as to why the child is not responsible to return the Ribit. Whereas there's no proof text by the Gzela case. You notice in the Gzela case, he just said, as a fact, he didn't bring any pasuk. So if you say that Rami Bar Chama said it about the Ribit case, then obviously he'd also say it about the Gzela case where there's no special pasuk. In other words, he doesn't buy into this pasuk. If he doesn't buy into the pasuk by Ribit, then for sure he's not going to think that when it comes to Gzela, the child's going to have to be responsible to return it. He's going to say, no, the child doesn't have to return it. Just like by Ribit, he doesn't need to return it. Likewise here. So if you say that Rami Bar Chama said it on the Braita, so Koshkin is going to say it on the Mishnah. The one who says that Rami Bar Chama made a statement on the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Avala Braita, you could claim that when it came to a Ribit case, Rami Bar Chama ki Rava Batnei Lea, he might agree that in a Ribit case, the child might not have to return it. Because there's this pasuk that teaches you, that it only relates to the person who took the Ribit and not to his inheritors. So therefore, you know, you can go kind of, if you said it there, it's not necessarily clear you would say it in the other case. Okay, depending on the direction. We're going to have a very similar structure later on in today's talk about something else. Tanu Rabbanan. Hagozel ma'achilik banav turimi l'shalem. Okay, here's another bright tip about the topic. If you steal and you sell, right, same thing as our Mishnah. They're p'turimi l'shalem. Hiniach l'knehem, but now the second case where we said, right, in our Mishnah it said, if you're gozel ma'achil or you may niach l'knehem, you just pass on an inheritance. So they're p'turim. Now they distinguish in this Mishnah between gdolim, chayavim l'shalem. Ktanim, p'turimi l'shalem. It depends whether they're a gadol or a katan. And the assumption here is, what's the difference between a gadol and a katan? Well, a katan you can't bring to court. Right? You're not allowed to bring a minor into a court and be mechayev him. And therefore, the p'turim won't have to. But if they're gdolim already, we can bring them to court and demand it back. Right? In the first case, so the object's not in existence anymore. But if the object's in existence, so we can demand it from only the gdolim. V'im amru gdolim, if the gdolim say, ein anu yodim cheshbanot shachishev avinu imach, p'turim, if they say that we know that our father didn't, you know, paid you back already, then they're believed and they're p'turim. Mishum da. And so now we say, mishum da amre ein anu yodim p'turim, right? I already explained it by the conclusion. If they said, we don't know the cheshbonot that our father did with you, then they're p'turim. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How, if they say, we don't know, right? If they say, ein anu yodim, they're going to be p'turim. So amarava hachi kamar. No, you misunderstood it. It was like a rhetorical statement. What they really meant to say was, gdolim sha'amru yod'im anu cheshbonot shachishev abinu imach, v'lo pashlach gabe v'lo midi. Then they're p'turim. If they come with a definitive claim and they said, we know our father took care of this, he doesn't have anything with you, he already paid you back, right, or he doesn't owe you anything, then they're believed. If they come with a vada'i claim, we believe them. Why did it say, ain anu yodim? Either you could say it was a mistake, or you could say they meant it sarcastically. What, you think we don't know what our father's money, you know, our father's financial situation? We're gdolim, we were on top of things. We knew exactly what was going on. Okay, so either you say it's rhetorical, or you say maybe there was a little confusion about it, and the word ain just doesn't belong there. Okay, so if they come with a vada'i claim, then they're p'turim. Okay, so if they don't know what the situation was, right, this comes up all the time. The Yatomim have no idea all the financial details of their father's goings on. So if, you know, they have this, so then they have to pay it back. If he claims, you know, we don't have anything to do with this, our father took care of everything, then they're p'turim. Tanya Idach, here's another brayta. Hagozel umachil, umachil et banav, p'turim ilishalem. Hiniach lev, same thing so far. But hiniach lifnehem va'achalum, now we're going to have a distinction, right? Did they eat it or not? So if he left it for them in inheritance and they ate it, bein gdolim, bein ktanim chayavim. So now they say, ktanim mi mechayve, how could we be mechayve ktanim? Lo yehe ela da'azik azuke, what did we say about a katan, you remember? If they hit others, right? How do you say it there? I forgot the wording. Maybe Rashi quotes it here. Right, heim shechavlu ba'achir. All right, I forgot the beginning part, but there. Right, if they get injured, then obviously people piyatan, or pietan, I forget the wording there. But in other words, people are going to have to pay them, but heim shechavlu ba'acherim or pturim. So how could you make them chayav, right? This is no better than nezek. If they're not chayav in damages, so obviously they're not going to be chayav in this. So amar of papa hachi kamar. No, this is what they meant. Hiniach lefnehem ba'adayin lo chalum. It's not if it was already consumed. If the item wasn't consumed and the item is in existence, then what are we going to say, right? It doesn't matter if they're ktanim or gdolim. Bang gdolim, bang ktanim, they're chayavim. And why are they chayavim? Because what did we say? Kvod avihem, right? They then have to return it because people are going to say that item. It's not that we are going to bring a katan to court, but it's that he's responsible because his father stole it. It's going to end up being an issue of kibur avihem. Amarava. And that's what they're doing, is they're bringing in all sorts of Tana'itic material, and they're trying to figure it out with all the things that we said. How does it work in? Okay? Amar Rav Papa. Hachi kamar. Hiniach lifnehem. I'm sorry, we just read that. Amar Rav. Hiniach lifnehem avihem parash she'ula. Here's an interesting halacha. The father leaves a borrowed para, a borrowed cow. Mishtamshim ba kol yemei she'elata. Now, what do we know about a shoel? We've learned this before. A shoel is chayav even in ones. Because what do we say? He's the only shomer who's chayav in ones. Because kol hana'a shelo. Remember, he gets all the benefits. Number one, he doesn't have to pay for the item. Number two, he gets to use the item. That makes him different from all other shomerim. So he's chayav in ones. But what happens here? If the father had borrowed a cow for a year, let's say, and before the year was up, he dies, the children get the cow, and they can use it, kol yemei she'elata, until the year is up. But meita, let's say it dies, machmat ones, where normally the father would be responsible, ein chayavim ba'onseha. They're not chayav in onsim. Why is that? Because the father received the cow for borrowing and took on the responsibility of onsim. But the children didn't receive this favor from the guy. In other words, they just got passed on this cow that they were allowed to use. But the favor that the guy got from the owner, that was mechayvim and onsim, but that doesn't pass on to the children. Because they never committed to pay onsim. Like, the assumption is here that in order to pay ones, you need to have some sort of a commitment that you make to this guy, like an agreement. And they never made that agreement. So basically, they're pacha from onus. So they get to be like the best shoel. They get to use it. They don't have to pay, and they don't have to pay for onus. Okay? Very interesting. What if, okay, you can imagine this case would happen. The father had borrowed this cow, but the kids don't know that the cow was borrowed. Kisvurim shalavi henhi. They thought it was their father's cow. And then, what happens? Tvachua vachlua. They shech the cow and they eat it. Comes the guy and he says, where's my cow? They say, oops. Mishalmim deme basar bezol. They pay the lowest, the cheapest rate of the meat. The Mefreshim say this is 2/3 of the shuk value. Okay, like in other words, the assumption is the shuk value is jacked up. We all know this. Go buy something in a store, it's always jacked up the price. So they pay 2/3 the amount. Hiniach lehen avihen achrayut nechasim. Chayavim l'shalem. Okay, now we have a difficult statement. This last line, okay, let's go back to what Rabbi said. Rabbi brought in two halachas. One was, right, the kids can use it and they're not chayav in ones. And the second is, if they shecht it, they have to pay 2/3 of the amount. Then comes this line, and we're going to say, some people say it's referring to the first case, and some people say it's referring to the second case. So we'll have to read each one. So if the father left them achrayut nechasim, then they have to pay. Okay, so in the first case, then they'd have to pay ones, okay, if the father, basically, in other words, if the father was a landowner, then from the time he took the commitment of ones, his land was leaned to basically paying that ones, okay, in which case the kids would then have to pay. If you say it's on the second thing, then you say, no, that's not the case, okay, but then the second line, it would say, if they shefted the animal, then they actually, and the father had had land at the time he took out the loan, I'm sorry, the time he borrowed the animal, then they would have to pay the full value, the full market value of the meat and not just the 2/3. So, ika demat ela resha, the ika demat ela seifa. Some people say it was on the first line, some people say it was on the second case. Man demat ela resha, this is exactly like we saw before. If you were to say it on the resha, that you're chayav in onsim, then obviously you would say kol shekein on the seifa. Not just you chayv an onsim, if you're chayv an onsim, then obviously also you'd have to pay the full value of the meat. You wouldn't get away with paying only 2/3. And then you would say, upliga de Rav Papa, and this disagrees with Rav Papa, who we haven't seen yet, but we'll see in a minute. Man dematne la seifa, avala resha lo. But if you say it's only going on the case where you slaughter the animal, then you'd have to pay the full value if you're a landowner. But still, you wouldn't necessarily say that you're mechayev ba'onsin, because you'd still say the same thing. The kids never made that commitment, so what if the father had land? The kids never made the commitment. So now we're going to see why the first way of explaining it disagrees with our papa. V'hainu de Rav Papa, what's the statement of Rav Papa we refer to? De Amar Rav Papa, hayta para genuvalo, utvacha b'shabbat chayav, shekvar chayav b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei isur shabbat. If the para was stolen, okay, before we go here, what do you have to remember? Kim lebi de Rav Aminei. You remember that? What does it mean? You have two punishments, right? Here it's going to be tashlumim and death. Right? If tashlumim and death come at the same moment, in order for kibble to work, the chiyuv has to be at the same moment. What do we say? You only get death, you don't have to pay. Even if in the end you don't get the death penalty. So, if the para was stolen to him, and then he slaughters it on Shabbat, so what happens if he slaughters it on Shabbat? So when he shechts it, he's chayev also in Shabbat. It's a sort of shecht on Shabbat. So at that moment he's going to be chayev mavet. But he stole the para earlier. Okay, so therefore he's chayav in the tashlumin. Shekvar chayav b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei isur shabbat. But hayta para she'ula lo utvacha b'shabbat. If the para was borrowed and he slaughters it on Shabbat, patur. She'isur shabbat isur gneva ba'in ke'echad. When is he mitchayav ba'onsim according to Rav Papa? According to this, at the moment he slaughters the animal, right? When he basically does the act that basically turns it into, right, I'm using this animal for my own purposes. So then, or at the time of the onus, you could call it, or the time anything happens to it. So now at this point, what happens? He basically steals the animal, uses it for his own purposes, shechts it. Okay, at that moment, he's chayav. Now, what did Rava say? What did the way we read Rava before? That what? That at the moment he takes, if you have land, what happens? You're mitchayev ba'onsin from the moment you make the agreement with the guy. If you have land, right, then your land is lien to it from the moment of the she'ela. You're mitchayev ba'onsin not at the moment that the animal dies of ones. You're chayev and onsin already from the get-go, when you first make the agreement.
A regular shoal, you're saying?
A regular shoal, what we're saying, according to the way we've understood it, the way Rava understood it, is that, right, there's the moment he takes it, right, the moment, the hash'ala, right? And then, right, he dies, and then his kids get it, right?
Right.
Your shim, okay? And then, after that, right, we should just say mate and your shim, right, get it at the same time. And then, ones happens, right? So before we said, right, if the ones happens, if we say like this, if he had owned land, right, what did we say when the ones happens later, what happens? They're not chayav an onsim, because they never agreed to it. But if he owned land, then what did we say? At the moment of Sheila, right, the property was already lien to this ones. That in the event that ones happens, the land will be liened, and therefore the moment of the agreement is when he's basically mitchayev ba'onsim, which is against Rav Papa, because Rav Papa says, right, the moment of Sheila. One second. No, now I'm saying the wrong thing. Wait. Dafka, he says, right, the moment of Isur Shabbat, Isur Gneva, right. Exactly. No, I said it right. According to Rav Papa, what does he say? Isur Shabbat, Isur Gneva, Ba'in Ke'echad. When's the moment of, right here, it's the comparison between the Ones or the Gneva. At the moment of the Gneva, that's when he's Mitchayev. He's not Mitchayev from the moment he agreed. Even if he had land leaned, it wouldn't have been leaned to him.
That makes sense, because the whole benefit of a shoal, you told us, is that he gets the up and the down. If a landowner has, if a guy has land, then he never gets that upside of not being Chayev and Ones. So it would make sense that...
No, he is chayav and ones. What do you mean?
The shoal
gets all the hana'ah, but he's chayav and ones. The question is, when does his chayav onsim kick in? Does it kick in from the beginning? In which case, if he has land... What's this story? I borrowed something from you. Mm-hmm. From the moment I borrow it, since I own a house, so I own land, in the event... I'm basically agreeing to you that in the event that something were to happen to this animal, some ones, or I stole it, like in Rav Papa's case, if I steal it or anything happens, the land that I have, you can demand it back from my land. Or, that's right, that's saying, that's against Rav Papa, that's Rava. The moment of Sheilat happens, and that's why the kids will have to pay it back. That's if you read that line as referring to the Reisha. But according to Rav Papa, no, it's at the moment of Onus, or the moment of Geneva, that's when you become responsible. And since that's the moment you become responsible, so then you're Pacha from Chiyuvei Shabbat, basically. And sorry, the opposite. You're Pacha from Tashlumin because at that same moment, you were over in Isser of on Shabbat, you're Mitchayev Skila, and therefore, you're going to be Pachur. Okay? From Tashlumin. Okay. Haita para she'ulalo, utvacha b'Shabbat, right? If the para was borrowed to him, and he slaughters it on Shabbat, patur. Shisur Shabbat, Yisur Geneva, Ba'in Ke'echad. Okay, that's what we saw. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Ve'eshiva tagzela asher gazal. Remember, we've seen this, we've seen Drashot on this pasuk. He has to return the gzela that he stole. Ma tamud lomar asher gazal. Yachzir ke'en shegazal. Right, he has to return the item that he, like the item he stole. Mikan amru, from here we learn that what? Hagozel u'machilet banav. Pturimi the shalem. Right? If your gozel and then your children eat it, they're pturimi the shalem because the gzela item is not there anymore. He niach lifnehem, but if he passed down an inheritance to them, ben gedolim, ben ktanim, chayavim, because asher gazal, the item's still there, so they have to return it. Mishum sumchus amru, but now sumchus disagrees, and what does he say? Dolim chayavim, ktanim pturim. Okay? Now we're going to get into this whole discussion about why ketanim or ptulim? Because we learned about the fact that right, ketanim would have to come to court to be mechayev them. You can't be mechayev juveniles. If they don't, juveniles, they don't go, you can't bring them to court. So now we're going to see a case. Bar Chamua de Rabbi Yirmiah, okay, the son of his brother-in-law, of Rabbi Yirmiah, basically his nephew. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiah's nephew from his wife's side. Tarach gale ba'api de Rabbi Yirmiah. Okay, what happened? Rabbi Yirmiah's brother-in-law dies. Rabbi Yirmiah claims, this is my house. He sold it to me, or he gave it to me. Okay? The son of the brother-in-law comes to Rabbi Yirmiah, and he's tarik gali ba'api to Rabbi Yirmiah. He shuts the door in his face, and he says, get out of my house. This is my house. Now, he's a katan, right? So, onto the kamei to Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Yirmiah comes in front of Rabbi Avin, and he says, hey, this katan is taking away my property. The brother-in-law giving it to me. This katan is saying no. So who, right, who do we listen to? Amar, shalohu tovea. He says, he's taking his own property, so he gets to keep it. Amar le, v'hamaitina sade de'achzakei be b'chaye d'avua. What if I bring proof, right, but I brought proof that I was living here when the father was still alive, meaning I have proof, chazaka, that, right, on we're going to get to this in Baba Batra. If you live in a place for 3 years and no one's complained, then you get to, that's basically proof that you own the house. Amar le, v'chi mekablim edim shelo b'fnei bal din. So he says, right, how can we accept testimony without being in front of the bal edim? Now, this is going to be a whole question we're going to get to in the daf. Are you allowed to accept testimony if the bal din is not there? In other words, can you go to court and claim something about somebody when they don't show up in court? Do they have to be there? What?
Even if they're dead.
Ah, so what? So now, what's the issue? There is a bal din here. It's not the dead one. It's the yorshim of the bal din. What's the problem? They're ktanim. A katan can't be in court. That's exactly the issue. In other words, right now, we don't have somebody to appear in court. So he says, I can't take testimony for you. So therefore, sorry, nothing I can do for you. So then he says, v'lo, is that really true? V'haktane, and says, what do you mean you can't take testimony? Shelo b'fnei bal din. Don't we say, ben gedolim, ben ktanim chayavim? Right? So what do you see? Right? According to the Chachamim, in that opinion, right, there was a machloket. Sumchus said, gedolim chayavim ktanim pturim. But Chachamim said, even the ktanim are chayavim to return the gzela, which means that you can take them to court and demand it from them. So amar lei, hare machloket sumchus bitzidech. You're quoting Chachamim, but Sumchus disagrees with you, and basically, I'm holding like Sumchus. Okay? And Ketanim can't, and if Ketanim can't return, right, that proves my point. You can't bring these Ketanim to court. Amar lei, yichapa kule ama v'kai kesumchus? And you're gonna basically, you know, ignore Chachamim's opinion and hold like Sumchus, okay? In other words, why are you all of a sudden holding like a minority opinion? Okay? So now, la'afku inan lididi, Lafkuina Lididi, sorry. He's saying, you're going to leave everyone, hold like some place in order to take my property away from me? Right? Lafkia, to uproot my property from me. Adahachi igalgel milta. Okay, in the meantime, he didn't like the psak he got, so what did he do? He went onward to somebody else. Ata umata lekamed Rabbi Avau. Okay, he gave up on Rabbi Avin. He said, I'm going to go to Rabbi Avau. Amar lo shmiya lechu hadu Rabbi Yosef Barchama. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Okay, didn't you hear what Rabbi Yosef Barchama said in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya? De Amar Rabbi Yosef Barchama. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Tinok shetakaf ba'avadav. Yarad latoch sadesh chavero. Ba'amar shelihu. A child, a young, right here they say a tinok, okay, who uses... right, what is this? He takaf avadav, lakach avadav, Rashi says, imo shisayuhu. Okay, he took his avadim with him, that they'll help him out. Okay, v'yarad letoch sadeh shel chavero, v'amar shelihu. And he goes to the property of his friend, and he says, this is my property. Ein omrim nantin ad sheyagdil. We don't say, we wait until the kid gets older, because we can't even bring this case to court right now. Ella motzi'im miyado miyad. We say, kid, get off this property right now. U'chlechisha yagdil yavi edim v'nir'eh. And only when he gets older, right? In other words, what they're saying is we don't say namtin ad sheyagdil. We say, we don't say, well, you claim this is yours. You're too young to go to court, so we'll just let you live in the property in the meanwhile, and then we'll wait till you get older. But they say, no, no, no. We don't take any kind of testimony. And when yagdil, when you get older, then you can bring edim and we'll see. So now, what do you see here? What does this seem to prove? That you can't deal with a katan, right? But in other words, who won in that case? The gadol won, right? So Rabbi Yirmiyah should be able to win. So he says, mi dame. One second, I just want to check one thing in the story. Right, so basically, Rabbi Avau wants to help him out. But then the Gemara says, okay, you can't compare these two stories. What's the big difference between these two stories? Mi dame, hatamu demafkina mine, de lo kaimalea chazaka da'avua, aval hei chadit le chazaka da'avua lo. In the case we just brought, he wants to go into someone else's land and claim it's his. There's absolutely no chazaka. In the other case, we have a chazaka that this land belonged to his father. So we're not going to kick him out because, right? We can't kick him out of his land. This is basically the same principle of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So if the kid is already living there, we're not going to kick him out. We're going to leave the status. Basically, in all cases, we're going to say we leave the status quo until he gets older. So in the end, we prove that you have to wait for kids to get older, and other than you can't bring them to court.
But then would you have a chazaka that they lived there 3 years or whatever?
Could you have right, that? So if you had proof, but right, it's in this case it seems like he wanted, well that's the thing. In order to prove he had a chazaka, he'd have to bring edim. In order to bring edim, he'd have to go to court. Can't go to court because the young people can't go, you know.
Right, the young people can't go to court. Right. So the young people stay in the land.
Right.
But they live there for 3 years. And then
oh, the young people live there for 3 years?
Right. Yeah.
No, well, he claims he had a chazaka.
He thinks there once they've also stayed in it for 3 years, so that right. overrides well, the first claim.
Right. So I think, right. Look, when it gets to court, they'd have to see who can really bring better proof about what really happened. It's hard to say that there was obvious proof that they were living there for 3 years and he was living there for 3 years.
What I'm saying is, okay, they're saying, okay, just let the kids stay here and whatever. But then the kid could stay, and then you can, and then when the kid can go to court, then you can discuss it. But if the kid has lived there for 3 years, then
there's nothing to discuss.
There's a chazaka that the kid has lived there for 3 years, then when they get to court,
the kid would be able to prove it.
Does he go back?
It depends what kind of proof the other guy has, right? The brother-in-law says, I've been living there for 3 years. So the question is, what's the truth? Who is living there for 3 years? And the court has to figure that out. If the kids were living there, let's hear what are we saying? The chazaka we have is that the land belonged to the kid's father. So that's the chazaka. We're going to go with that, right? They've been living in the house. How do we know he was living in the house? Because he slammed the door in front of the other guy who tried to come into the house. So they were the ones living in the house. We don't know who's had it for 3 years. That's the issue the courts will figure out. Question is, who's there right now? These kids, right? He's got the heavier proof at this point. We're not going to remove him from his property because he's physically there. We don't care about the proof right now because proof is irrelevant because we can't introduce proof into here because that would mean going to court. And the kid can't go to court and you can't judge in the court without the kid. Okay? Amarav Ashi, Amarav Yishabtai, Mikablim Edim Shalo Bifnei Baldin. Okay, now we're going to see these different opinions about whether you can accept Edim without the Baldin or not. So he says you can accept Edim without the Baldin. Tai Barabi Yochanan. Yochanan question is, B'chim Mikablim Edim Shalo Bifnei Baldin? Right? Could this really be true? Kibla Minei de Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Kigon Shahaya Chole O Edav Cholim O Shayu Edav Mivakshim Lelech Lemedina Hayam. Okay, in other words, there's a case where if he was sick or the agent were sick, what's the relevance of them being sick? They might die. And if we don't judge the case right now, we're going to lose our ability to judge this case. Or the agent were trying to go abroad, okay? And basically, before the agent went abroad, they wanted to bring the agent to court. After that, who knows if they, right? We always know. Somebody goes to meet Dina Hayam, we never know if they're coming back or not. So, Vishalchulo, Viloba. And they, what happened? Now, there's a big debate about this last line, whether it's only referring to the case with the Edim, who were going to Medinat Hayam, or maybe it's referring to all of them. And let's say it was referring to all of them. So he's sick, or the Edim are sick, or something. We got to quickly get to court, and they subpoena him to court, and he doesn't show. If he doesn't show, that's when we can judge without him. Okay? In other words, when we say you could have it without the Baal Din, it's only in these particular circumstances. Amar of Yehud Amar Shmuel, Mikablim Edim Shalo Bifnei Baal Din. Okay, he says now in the name of Shmuel, you can do it without Baal Din. Amar Mar Ukva, Lididim Efrashe Leminei De Shmuel. I explain the case of Shmuel. Again, we're going to have to say it's only in a particular case. Kigon Depatchule Bedine Veshachule. They opened the court judgment and they sent for him and they subpoenaed him. Below Ata. Avalo Patchule Bedina. But if they didn't open the din yet, then Matze Amarle, the Baal Din who doesn't show up, can say, Ana lebeitin agadola zilna. I don't want to go to the court you're summoning me to. I'm going to go to a different court. So if they haven't yet opened the din, then he could claim that, and therefore they can't do the court without him. But if they've already opened the din in this court, which means he's going to stay in this court, then if they call him to din, he doesn't come, then they can open the court judge without him. So ihachi, they say, wait a minute. What's the difference, whether patchulo or lo patchulo? Ki patchule nami matze amrle lebehet din agadol azyana. So what if they decided to open it in this court? This sounds like those cases of, there's always a thing when people get divorced, if it's better for the man to open the tikkun in the beitin, and it's better for the woman to open it in a regular civil court. And whoever opens it first basically is where the tikkun is going to be. So this is what it's saying, like, why should that be fair? Just because one opened the court here doesn't mean the other guy can't claim. I'd rather have to judge this in a different court. So Amar Ravina, it's kigon dinaket diskia mi beit din hagadol. It's a case where they have a diskia. Okay, Rashi says this is an igeret mi beit din. Okay, that they sent to the beit din of here that they are supposed to go to the beit din hagadol, and then he can't have any claim because they're obviously already going to the highest court. Amar Rav. If we have a shtar and we want to verify the validity of it, we can do that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, even a kium shtar, you can't do without the Baal Din. I'm going to explain to you the reason of Rabbi Yochanan. He says you can't be mekayim shtar shalo b'fnei Baal Din, because Amar Kra, v'hu'a b'ba'ala v'lo yishmerenu. What's this case? So the shur mu'ad, you have to testify in front of the Baalim. He has to be there. Okay? Amra Torah, Yavo Baal Ashor, V'yamor Ashoro. Amar Rava, Hilchata, Mekaymin et Ashar Shalo B'fnei Baal Din. Okay, so now Rava paskins that in fact you can be Mekaymin et Ashar Shalo B'fnei Baal Din, even though we just brought a pasuk that not. V'afilu Omeh B'tzaveh. You can see the pasuk is not exactly a do'oraita halacha, right? It's like an asmachta to the pasuk. He says, V'afilu Omeh B'tzaveh, even if the guy's screaming, that I can bring Edim that say this is a forgery. V'i'amar nekitu lizimne ad maitinan sade morana le'lishtara naktinan le. Okay, now what if he says, right, he's screaming, I can bring Edim, so what do they say? They say, fine, we're going to give you a certain amount of time that you can bring testimony and show that it's a bad shtar. I'ata, ata. If it comes right, let's give you the case. Someone says, you owe me money, and here's a shtar. The guy says, that's a forgery. So what do we say, right? So they were mekayim the shtar. They brought Edim to testify about the signatures. We saw this in Gittin, right, about mekayim the shtar. You find the signature, you verify the signatures. If the guy comes within the time frame you allot him, great. Then we can judge, and decide based on his testimony versus the other. Ilo ata natrina le bahab. We give him, what's Bahab? Yom Sheni, Yom Chamishi, Yom Sheni. We give him, right, you set a time and then you give him a little leeway, okay? You give him another week and a half till the next three times the court sits, because the court sat on Monday, Thursday, Monday. Vi lo ata katvina le p'ticha ilave. Then we write what's called the Shtar P'ticha. We'll get to this a little more later, but now we're going to explain what this is. Tish'in yom, he gets 90 days. Taltin kamai lo nachtinan l'nichse. The first 30, we don't go into his funds and take out, right? In other words, basically we're saying this is how much leeway a person gets. So if he doesn't bring in the first 30 days any proof, we still don't go to his nechassim. Da'amar katarach bezuze v'nezaf. Okay, we assume that the guy's trying to find the money for this. Mitzie, after the next 30 days, nami lo nachtina le l'nechse. Da'amar le, dilma lo eshkach l'mezaf. In other words, we assume the guy's going to try to find funds and borrow money. Once the next 30 days pass, we say, well, maybe he didn't find anyone to borrow money from yet. Maybe the people he's trying to borrow from are katarach umazbin umazbin. In other words, maybe they're trying to sell things so they get money so that they can lend him money. But try after the last 30 days, nami lo nachtina le, say we still don't go into his property. Da'ama lokeach gufe, oh sorry. This is, right, maybe he's trying to sell things to get the money. And then the last one we say, maybe the lokeach gufe katarach bezuze. In other words, maybe the guy he's trying to sell things to is trying to get money for himself, right? In order to be able to buy. Lo ata, if he doesn't come after those 90 days, then what happens? Katvina adrachta anichse. Then we write, we've seen this word adrachta before, we write a shtar that says the guy can come and take your property, right? Vahane mile da'amar atina. This is only if the guy says, I'm going to go bring proof. You know, aval amar lo atina, but if he says, I'm not going to bring proof, la'alter katvina. Okay, then you write it immediately. If he agrees that the shtar is a good shtar and he doesn't bring the money, then already immediately we can write a drachta. And the last line, v'hane mile b'milve. This is all by halva'a. Aval b'pikadon la'alter katvinan. Okay, and then, if it's a pikadon though, if it's a milve, so we could debate whether there was actually a halva'a or not. But if there's a pikadon case and I don't return the pikadon, so immediately we can write a shtar drachta because we see I have the pikadon and you know, there's no big discussion about it. Okay, we'll get into more details here about is it makarke and talsalin, etc. Start with that tomorrow.